It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can let me down, watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free. I was born
free. Hey, hey, the gang's all here.
Yes.
Brother Jim, how are you, sir?
You know, not bad for a new year.
What's that mean?
I don't know. You know, in great anticipation.
Not bad for a new year.
Yeah,
so you've kept
I'm
track
ready.
Over the years, and every new year you kind of know your mood,
yeah,
or what?
I sort of rate that.
That's
pretty
lots
funny. Of good great anticipation for more new, improved, better things for us all
right.
for 2021.
Dr. Carla, I was not anticipating that answer. Were you?
No, sir, I was not.
Not bad for a new year. That,
yep.
You know, that's probably the first quote I will put out there on Facebook for the year.
I'll grant you the rights to
that's,
it.
That's social media worthy. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. I am Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell, our guest today, Dr. Carla Harkelrode from ASU at Lake Havasu. And I got a couple of housekeeping items. I want to make sure and talk about this because the 5K run for the Balloon Fest, I was showing you this before the show. The 5K run has changed locations. It will no longer be at Sarah Park. The location will be on the Island Jogging Path, which is across the London Bridge on the interior of the island. Start, finish, check-in, and parking will be located on the west end of the island on the old airport parking lot and across from the Beachcomber RV Resort. Volunteer times and assignments remain the same.
Now let's
for those of you who are volunteers.
And let's just add immediately, folks, the balloon functions, the drive-in movie, all of that is where it was originally planned to be
right.
at Sarah Park.
Right.
Only the 5K has moved. So
you did read this.
I did read that, but
I'm
it took a while.
I'm
it
very proud of you this morning.
Well, I discovered I
Why
could
did
read.
It take you a while? Oh, the comprehension part.
The
and all
comprehension
that.
Part was way off
he
because
did.
I was, I like probably our listeners, was confused that why
right.
they were moving the whole function, but not the whole function.
Dr. Carla, as an educator, this is like 60 seconds of copy we're talking about, and Jim combed through it in about 5 minutes. All right?
I wanted to be very accurate for 2021.
So the 5K run will still be on Saturday, January 16th. It's just that it starts between 8 a.m. and 8:30 a.m., and that's a staggered start. If you want more information or you want to register online, it's HavasuBalloonFest.com, and there's packages for families, children, and individuals. And I got something for casino night, but I'm going to save that for a little bit later. It's for
we'll make our listeners
casino
wait.
Night's very popular.
Cool,
very popular for the Lake Havasu Area Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a golf tournament as well for Balloon Fest weekend and the Night Glow.
nightclub and drive-in, drive-in movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of good functions.
You kind of look like the guy in the drive-in movie this year. The movie Up.
You know, I didn't see it.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen it. No. Doesn't he? Oh, you haven't met Jim yet, but he looks like the little old guy in Up.
Wait a minute.
He does.
Little old guy.
Yeah, he's a little old guy. Anyway, you have to see the story.
I was hoping for suave and debonair.
Oh, you were hoping for Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
It's more of a silver Burt Reynolds.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, I'll take that.
All right. Dr. Carla, what's happening at ASU at Lake Havasu before I get into the rigmarole of talking points?
Yeah, for sure. Our spring semester starts on Monday, January 11th, and so we have a week after the holidays before we're all back at it and our students are in class and our faculty are full-time back on campus. So this is a week of preparation for us, but we're excited. We're excited to welcome our students back.
So are there changes?
So ASU, including ASU at Lake Havasu, is moving forward with a very similar plan to the plan that we had last semester. So our courses are once again offered in multiple delivery formats. So students can be in person, in class, following all of our COVID protocols, or they can also attend through ASU Sync, which is using the Zoom platform to attend class while class is actually happening. So students can also choose to attend class from a remote location if that works better. Or, for example, if a student got sick, whether that was COVID or something else, they can still attend class if they're able to do that, and they can do so remotely so that there's no interruption in their ability to go to class and continue working towards earning their degree. So, yeah, so very similar to last semester, multiple options for students to attend the class. And then in addition, we do have students living on campus with us still, so our residence halls are still open.
So that must be a sign.
So very similar.
That must be a sign that you did it right last semester.
I think so. I'm genuinely and honestly very impressed with Arizona State University's response and ASU at Lake Havasu with our response to managing education within the pandemic. So we just did exceptionally well. We made it all the way through the semester without ASU having to move back to fully remote education. So we stayed in person for those students who wanted to be here throughout the entire semester and did so successfully. So that tells me that the protocols that ASU's put in place around COVID were successful. So it was really exciting to see. I was really glad to get to the end of semester and celebrate the graduates we had at the end of fall, and looking forward to welcoming even some new students to our campus this spring.
Doctor, here's a sort of a look at your crystal ball kind of question, but if the COVID world were to leave us and everything returned to normal, like pre-COVID normal.
Mm-hmm.
Would the education system be changed? You know, have good things come from this horrible experience that will alter the face of higher education?
That's actually a really good question. I think that could expand to staff mm-hmm. working from
yeah,
home as it, well.
Exactly. The yeah. whole thing, all aspects of it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good topic. It's something that I think about a lot, and I know my colleagues in Tempe and my colleagues here in Lake Havasu think about a lot, because we now have an incredible investment in classroom technology in order to offer the opportunity for a faculty member to both be teaching to students who are in the classroom as well as teaching to students who are attending remotely. And there's been a significant investment, in addition to that investment, financial investment, spent a lot of time and effort put into how we teach successfully in that kind of environment. It creates more accessibility for students to our courses here in Lake Havasu. I mean, if we think about it, we have international students in their home countries right now who are studying with us and attending class with us
wow.
from their home countries. So I think, you know, we should think big and creatively and innovatively, and ASU is known for doing so, about how we use that technology to continue offering flexibility for students. I don't know what all of that will mean, But I don't think that technology goes away, right? It doesn't just go away when we go back or go forward into something that looks different, and hopefully COVID is better managed through vaccines and et cetera. But so we get to that other side, whatever that other side means. And I don't think that the things that we've invested in need to also go away. But what does that mean? And how does that look? And how do we incorporate it in that new space? And I think those are good questions and things we'll have to work through.
Well, and
that's one way.
And I think most importantly to parents and students, parents that are paying for their kids' college education, what is that? Is it still a value? Can you still maintain the same value, the same price structure for that student's education?
Yeah, so that's an interesting thought as well. I haven't been a part of any of those conversations, but I'm sure that I trust that our ASC senior leadership over in Tempe, I trust that they're looking at that. And what does that mean? What does ASC Sync mean? As it should it be the same price? Should it not be? Those are all questions I'm sure that they're working through. There are certain things that, you know, doing in person, it's different if you're doing it remotely.
Yes.
And so it's inspired a lot of creativity and innovation on how we engage students through a screen. How do you do that? How do you make sure that your students are participating in class? What does that look like? What kind of parameters can you put in around them to make sure that they're getting the most engaged experience that they can? And these are things that we've worked through. We had a faculty group who met at the end of the semester and really started thinking about, okay, this is what went well, this is what didn't go well, what are the problems that we can solve, how can we improve going forward so that spring semester is even better than fall. So, it'll be really interesting landscape on the other side of COVID, whatever that means and whatever time frame that is. But I think it's exciting to think about, you know, how to make education the most accessible it can be to the most number of people is a question that I really like thinking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though she's on the phone, we do have a phone line open. It's 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687 if you'd like to talk to Dr. Carla Harkelrod, the executive director at ASU at Lake Havasu. And let's see, it's not time for a break yet, but are students getting the same value for the money, even though they're learning hybrid, some online, some in person, that they were on an in-person only basis? Are they still getting that same value for the money at ASU?
So, you know, I think that's a question we'd have to ask the student. How about how they feel about their experience in comparison to other experiences? And I know that those conversations will continue and students will provide evaluations of their courses like they always do. And as we review those, we'll learn more about their experience and their perception of value.
Right.
What I know on our end is that our ASU at Lake Havasu faculty work diligently to connect with each individual student, whether that student is a remote student or a student in the classroom. So there's a lot of one-on-one interaction, and that hasn't changed even in our environment. So if the student isn't coming to campus, that faculty member will meet with that student one-on-one remotely via Zoom to have meetings, to have conversations, to continue to mentor and support that student. So those interactions haven't changed. Their delivery format has changed in some cases, but our faculty are still really, really engaged here. So it'll be interesting to see over time how students feel about it. Many of our students who can come to campus, they often self-select to attend remotely because it is their choice. Mm-hmm. So they're liking it. that's my anecdotal sort of response is they're liking it. They like that flexibility, and it's been interesting to watch.
Doctor, is there a percentage known or available as to how many of your students are taking, you know, remotely versus in the classroom?
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes it depends on the class, too, and on the kinds of activities and things that go on in the class. Yeah. So, for example, our lab science courses, many of those students are opting to be in the classroom because that's where the lab experience is, and faculty are figuring out how to support students who aren't there. So in those cases, you may have 75 to 100% attendance in those classes because it's just far more necessary to get the full experience. So there's that situation. And then in other classes, you may have students where you have 25%. I think here, because of our location, Lake Havasu City, I think students were maybe more willing to come to class than they were in urban environments, for example. It just felt more comfortable to them, less of a commute in many cases, et cetera, like, to get here. So, you know, somewhere between a third and 50% of our students generally came, and that changed throughout the semester. So there are points of the semester where you would have more students in class and points of the semester where they were attending remotely. So it varied to some degree.
And so it would seem like where you've where we've acknowledged that perhaps the class environment here is a little different than in the major urban areas, and you're seeing, you know, 50-50-ish, that mm-hmm. perhaps is a sign that when the bad conditions go away and normalcy returns, that there a lot of people, a lot of your of students may avail themselves of the remote in the future.
They may, I mean, there's a lot of flexibility to it. You know, if you're, you know, if you're a transfer student and maybe you have a child at home, or there all could be all kinds of situations where a student might benefit from being able to attend a class for an hour remotely. And maybe they don't need to do that all the time, but maybe on a given day they need to be able to be home to do X, Y, or Z. And it creates flexibility. It also creates flexibility for employees. So we're working through what does that mean on the other side of COVID, too. It's because in addition to our students, is how do we provide flexibility for our employees and still get the work done and still have a steady presence on campus and be available for people? So these are all good questions.
Okay. You're not hearing things, Dr. Carla. It's actually Alan Jackson on the Chattahoochee, because I know that's kind of your era
right.
of country music, right?
Yes, it is. You always remember, Paul.
I do. I remember my guests. I don't so much remember the names as I do their genres. All right, back with more in a moment. We're with Dr. Carla Harkelrode. She's Executive Director at ASU at Lake Havasu. We're also with Brother Jim Russell. Why? Because it's Monday. That's
yes.
why. It's the first show back after a two-week break. I need to re-engage the brain.
Yes, we have to be retrained.
That's why I have the rock star over here. So, anyway, that's called my show prep, by the way, Jim. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
We got a little crazy, but we never got caught.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Horizon Community Bank, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, and by Connected Computer and Technology.
They're good folks all. They just want a shot at your business. Give them a try, folks.
That's all they ask.
Yes, all they ask. Let them know you heard about them on Speak Out.
If you miss any part of this show, by the way, you can go to our archives there at kntrtalk.com. Or maybe you're in the car and you're almost to the office and you want to listen to the show online. It's kntrtalk.com. And Larry Tunforce will be on right after us.
In case you don't have a life, this can be it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All the conservative talk radio you could ever ask for. And it's right here on KNTR Talk and KNTRTalk.com and 106.3, of course, the voice of the free. And Dr. Carla's with us.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say, not related to our guest, but hearing that great classic country in the background, do you do a lot of classic country in your band?
We do some Dwight Yoakam.
Uh-huh.
We do some Darius Rucker. You've heard of them, right, Dr. Carla?
Oh, you betcha.
And since Jim brought it up, we're playing Wednesday night at the
cool.
Flying X, but it's classic rock night, so we do not put our country songs in. But, yeah, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., we'll be there at the Flying X this Wednesday night for Classic Rock Night with Black Cat X.
And if you don't know, you'll recognize Paul on the drums and
you won't recognize me. I have a face for radio, which our guitar player constantly reminds
you
me
of.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, you have a Wednesday night senior college lecture series. What's going on with that, Dr.
Yeah.
Carla?
Yeah, we're excited. So I'll be connecting with our faculty members here shortly who are coordinating and leading this work. But historically, pre-COVID, we offered a Wednesday night lecture series for anyone in the community to come to campus and hear on a topic. Often faculty members were presenting on topics in their areas of expertise. And this was just a service we provided. There's no charge for the Wednesday night lecture series. People just participated. It was just an offering and a way to support the community. And in the middle of COVID and fall, while we were sorting out, you know, how to make everything work and not having visitors on campus, we postponed our Wednesday night lecture series. The other piece is we've done a senior college in the past, so for residents or people visiting the area for extended periods of time or 55 or older, we've provided an opportunity for them to actually attend a class, so not just a one-night opportunity, but something that goes for longer than that. And since we're still in our working through COVID and continuing to manage in that environment, we decided to sort of combine these two things. And in February, I'll get the start date here shortly from our faculty members, and then we'll publicize and make it available to everybody. So we're actually going to offer, I don't know, somewhere between a 4 and 6 week series, and people can jump in and jump out of it. They can attend all six, they can attend one, they can attend two. It's really going to be up to them. It'll all be through Zoom, so people will be joining us remotely. Sure. We're going to do various topics, I think, related to the pandemic. So I think there may be a topic, for example, on how vaccines work. There may be a topic on communication and the pandemic, things like that. So we're trying to make it real current events focused, and we're excited to do it. So our faculty members have been working on it and figuring out what those topics will be, and then sometime, I'm guessing, in February, we'll be moving forward. So it's exciting. It's fun. It's a service we like to provide to our community.
You should have a topic on herd immunity. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that whole
concept.
I get the vaccine, and then I still have to wear a mask.
One of our faculty members was talking about doing something on the immune system that will be helpful for us too. So yeah, you're spot on in what you're talking about. I mean, those are the ideas and the topics that our faculty members are thinking through. So I'm excited. I'll probably attend and learn something.
Jim, I should get one of those graduate emeritus degrees
since
I'm spot on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for one idea. Yeah.
Good for you, Paul. Way to go.
I'm going to push for that. No, that is actually a great thing. And I was just getting ready to ask you, what are the topics? And it looks like you've got those lined up. So what are some of the, we've got spring 20. Are you calling it, I have to do a survey on this because I know what I prefer. Do you call it 2021 or do you call it 2021?
I call it 2021.
So do I. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we call it 2020, 2020, so right. I call it 2021. At least that's what I've been saying.
And you don't hit on either, just so you know. We were talking about casino night earlier.
We are moving into 2021. It is January 4th, right? Last I checked.
Yeah, so what are some of the activities for students for spring 2021?
Yeah, so one of the things that we, you know, and as we went into our first full semester in this hybrid environment, was making sure that we had enough opportunities for students to engage outside the classroom. What does that look like, and how do we do that safely, and how do we support them? So we did what we could during the fall, but our student services coordinators really stepped up and been working with her student employees to figure out what kinds of things we can offer to students that give them an opportunity at least once a week to do something outside the classroom. Some of it will be virtual, some of it will actually be in person. And so we're looking at figuring out how to reopen our beach hut. For those of you familiar with the area out there, know that ASU Lake Havasu actually has a beach hut down on the lake, and we didn't use that in the fall. We need to provide training to students and whatnot, and we didn't do that in the fall. But we're looking at how to bring that back online, for example. But we're looking at having trivia nights on a regular basis. Of course, we're going to figure out how to celebrate the Super Bowl with them. Those are some examples of what we're doing. We're going to have Wellness Wednesdays where we provide an opportunity for students to engage on a wellness topic, things like that. So, but we're really trying to figure out how to have students have an opportunity to have something to do every week, if they so choose.
Hmm. Any questions, Jim?
No, I was just thinking about the, I recall when the Beach Hut was first inaugurated,
yeah,
and the popularity that it, we at least heard here, that it had enjoyed. It'll be probably a great thing for the students to have access to that, and that'll be one more step towards normalcy.
Yes, we've figured out what we need to do, what kind of protocols we need to have in place. But again, it's an outdoor activity, and we all know that outdoor activities are safer, mm-hmm. and often involve just one or two students potentially. So we're excited to figure out how to bring that back online. And then continue to offer opportunities. We also connect our students to opportunities that are taking place virtually through Tempe. And so we provide those opportunities to students as well. We have a weekly newsletter, a bi-weekly newsletter we send out to students with all kinds of opportunities to engage. So we're just going to keep going forward with that. But again, we didn't have something every week, and it is our goal this semester to make sure we have something to do every week.
All right, perfect. I queued up some George Strait for you. And I like this song as well, Heartland by George Strait, of course, from his fantastic movie, right? Pure Country?
Mm-hmm.
All right, perfect. Just got word from Larry Tuneforce that Mayor Tom Brady of Bullhead City is the guest today after Speak Out, and, of course, after the news at the top of the hour, Speak Out 2.0. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell. We're with Dr. Carla Harkelrode. She's the executive director at ASU at Lake Havasu. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're back on Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Chagrou's Family of Restaurants, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by SMA Electric, Big Sky Insurance, Herb's Herbs, and of course, Bobby Lewis at the Lewis Team with Bobby, Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule from Coldwell Banker Realty.
And give them a shot at your business, folks. That's all we're asking for. Give them a try.
I don't know if you've caught that hour, Jim, but Coldwell Banker's on one half of the hour, and then you have Mojave Mortgage on the other half. So, yeah, we're really starting to get, you know, involved
in
with
the
business of the community,
yes,
and real estate in the community.
And real estate, I think, is a very strong business in our community at the moment.
He was saying, Bobby was saying, there's more million-dollar listings than ever.
I don't doubt it.
It's unbelievable. Back in the old days, it'd say, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's one here and there. Now you see at least one a month.
Gosh.
So, yeah, it's crazy. Dr. Carla Harkelrode is our guest, executive director at ASU at Lake Havasu. And Dr. Carla, what were we were talking about activities for students in 2021. What about international students? What's going on with that with the spring of 20? Are they coming back? Or
yeah.
Are you,
uh-huh.
What's going on with that?
Yes. So I just got notification this morning. We've started to get notifications from students that they're actually planning to arrive, and we're sort of prepared for them to arrive as they can get flights, as they can have all their documents in order. So we're sort of prepared to get notices where they say, oh, I'm going to be there in a week. And we say, okay, we'll be ready for you. We have a couple, actually, that are actually going to make their way to campus from their home countries. So it's getting, I would say, in some places just a little bit easier to get here, which is great. We actually have been sending, we do have an ASU shuttle that takes students to their meal plan option and whatnot, but occasionally we also send that shuttle to Las Vegas Airport to pick up students, usually international students, but occasionally domestic students as well. So when we're able, we can't always do it, but when we're able. So we actually have the shuttle going up there, I think probably this coming Friday. We're working out the details to pick up another international student. So we're excited to welcome them and make sure they get off to a really good start here.
Boy, a full-service university.
Well, that's kind of near and dear to your heart, too, Jim, because of the World Finals and that. But
sure.
What are the quarantine protocols like, Dr. Carla? Are there any?
Yep. Yeah, so all of our students who are living on campus are actually required to have a negative COVID test between particular dates, January 2nd through January 10th. They're required to come with a negative COVID test and then retest through ASU's free testing option once they get here. So if they're living on campus, that's the expectation. And if they don't have a negative test when they got here, they couldn't get a test, we work with them to figure out and we get them a test ASAP. So, for example, we have for our student staff and faculty, we have COVID testing this afternoon. So we have a number of options between this week and next week for students to meet that requirement. The quarantine requirement has changed. So they're not required to quarantine when they get here if they've traveled internationally. Instead, we have them, if they're living in the residence halls, we have them take that COVID test and ask them to come with a negative test. So we're still working with them to make sure that they're coming and that they're feeling good and ready to move forward. But we're not, instead of requiring them to quarantine, we're making sure that they can have a COVID test.
I can't imagine keeping that corral because, you know, my college experience wasn't just academic. It was social as well.
Sure.
And college students are a very social animal. It must present quite the challenge.
Yeah, so, you know, there's an educational process to it, just like everything that we do here. So, you know, helping students understand why you wear a mask in a classroom, why you wear a mask when you're walking with other people. For the most part, I have to be really honest, our students were exceptional in the fall. They were just exceptional about understanding that in order to be here and in person, these are the protocols that we have to follow. We need to follow them. These are ASU's policies, and they really were very good about following them. You know, it helps that in our residence halls, we're able to have single occupancy right now. So people are in their own rooms. So if we had a case, for example, if it were to happen where we had a student who is sick, it's very easy for them to self-isolate because they are already in their own room. So we were able to do some things here around our international students and our domestic students and the residence halls to make sure that we could be successful and limit illness, which is great. But our students were just so good about following protocols. I was so impressed with them.
So, again, our guest is Dr. Carla Harkle-Rhodes. She's the executive director, ASU at Lake Havasu. And you can call in as well. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Jim, you had a question?
Yeah, just a somewhat related question. In the international students, does the university have to get involved in assisting the students with the meeting visa requirements or that sort of thing?
Yeah, so yes, the answer to that question is yes. So ASU has an office called the International Student and Scholars Office. So it supports employees who are from other countries as well as students who are here studying. So they work with students regularly. We also have what we call a DSO, a designated school official. So we have somebody on our campus here located in Lake Havasu City who, in addition to her regular work, she's our designated school official. So she works with students on their visa issues. She works with our colleagues in Tempe to make sure that our students are supported, that they have what they need. There's a lot of wraparound engagement and support that happens for each international student. So we have a designated school official who works with each student.
Sounds like that person has a lot of responsibility if they're coordinating with Tempe as well.
She does. I know. I got an email from her saying she worked a couple days on her vacation.
Oh, sure. I can imagine.
We were talking about that. So, yes, she does, because these issues, particularly right now, are emergent and immediate. So it's sort of like you can't leave that student who's waiting for an answer on a particular piece related to their travel here, studying here, et cetera. You can't leave that till you get back in a week. That needs to be addressed much sooner than that. So, yes, our designated school official has a lot of responsibilities, and now, she does a great job.
Now, what about student counts on the Havasu campus? I remember when we started this journey for the fall semester, I think you had 110 as the number. Does that number fluctuate with the spring?
Yep. So we had students graduate. We had 117 this fall,
right,
which is great. And then we had 10 students graduate. So 117 minus 10. And then we have some additional students as well. So we still have some continuing students who are in process of registering. So I don't have an official number. We'll be up over 100 somewhere, but I'm not sure exactly where it will land with the number of new students that we have, as well as the continuing students as they're still registering. So again, we, with our size, we're able to work with each student individually, which is great.
You notice, Jim, Dr. Carla had numbers but no end sum because I don't think she was a math major. I'm just kidding.
I have taken quite a few statistics classes, though, in my day, let me tell you.
Oh, statistics.
Quite a few. I don't miss it.
Statistics, now we're talking. ASU at Lake Havasu online T-shirt store and College Color Thursdays, what's that all about?
Yeah, I'm excited. So many people have probably heard of College Colors Fridays, which is a really common thing at university colleges and universities to wear college colors on Fridays. So because in our local area, Lake Havasu City, we work to support the high school on Fridays. So we high school colors on Fridays.
Wow.
Local area businesses, as well as the high school, we've transitioned here in this local area to College Colors Thursdays. So we've been working on getting T-shirts for our high school teachers and administrators who want to participate so that everyone on Thursdays can wear ASU at Lake Havasu T-shirts, which is fun. So we've been working on our branding. We've been working on our T-shirts. We have somebody on our team who's been handling all of that, and we're really excited. We're actually going to have an online T-shirt store very, very soon. We're not quite there yet. I imagine within the next 30 days or so that'll be available. So the next time we talk, I'll probably have a link and whatnot. But it's really exciting. So people who want, of course, there are other places in town to buy ASU at Lake Havasu T-shirts as well. But we are going to make it really easy for people and have an online store. And then we can all wear our colors on Thursday. So that's what that's about.
When you say High School Color Friday, are you talking about Lake Havasu High School?
Correct, yes.
I was trying to think of another school in the conference, in ASU's conference that was purple, but the only school I could think of wearing purple would be Northwestern. So I don't, you know, that's a Big Ten school.
So the University of Washington Huskies.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. I'm from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Pacific Northwest. I have those colors memorized. You betcha.
And being from Oregon.
Yeah, so, but here it does not mean that. It does not mean that here in Lake Havasu City.
You.
It's supported by high school.
Yeah, no Husky shirts for sure. Not at ASU at Lake Havasu. So,
Dr.
No, sir.
Now that you and your husband have been here through a summer and well into a winter now, how are you adjusting and liking your new home?
They're loving the sunsets, I bet.
Oh, my husband and I love it here.
Oh,
we, I mean, I came from a place where it rains all
a lot.
So we get to go outside and walk just any day. I mean, it's kind of amazing, actually. We find the desert landscape really beautiful, and we're really excited. We're actually building a house, so we're excited to be doing that. And we're hoping to move in probably in either very late April or sometime in May.
The CH Ranch. That's it.
Yes, right.
Carla Harkle Road Ranch.
Probably not.
That's right.
But, you know, my husband's figuring out what he's going to be doing next year as well. So I think he's going to be starting a business. So it's really exciting. He's finding what he wants to do here in Lake Havasu City. So it's been fun. We've had a really good time.
Nice.
So do we have any secret revealing of what it is he's going to do, what business this he may pursue?
Is he an event?
Well,
is he an
he's
event?
Probably listening right now to me. I don't know how much he wants me to share, but I'm just going to go ahead and share that he's going to be a real estate photographer.
Oh,
nice.
Uh-huh.
My husband has a really strong creative background. He's a graphic designer, website developer, et cetera. He's also a painter, and he's also has photography experience. So he can do just about anything in the creative world, and that's what he wants to pursue, and he's really excited about it. So I won't announce the name yet because he's not ready to work. he's still putting things together, but I'm really excited for him.
That's time to break the soft boxes out of storage. Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. Clint, your classroom technology, are there upgrades going on right now?
Yes, I'm really excited about it. We have 10 primary classrooms on campus. Two of those classrooms are labs, science lab classrooms. And then the other eight are more traditional type classrooms. And four of those eight, we had to do kind of an interesting camera setup in that room in order to make it work and have the camera positioned. And it was sort of what I'd call a jerry-rigged Band-Aid approach, although it was very successful. I don't want anyone to misinterpret me. It worked very well. Faculty figured out how to use it, and it was fine. But we needed a different camera setup in that room, and I'm really excited that our colleagues in Tempe thought so also. And they're working on procuring that equipment, and we're hoping for integration of that equipment sometime during January. So it'll be after the semester starts, but again, this is just more evidence of ASU's continued commitment to making sure that our students in Lake Havasu have the equivalent experience to our students in Tempe. So I've just been really impressed with the commitment. So I'm looking forward to having those upgraded cameras, as is our IT specialist. We're all looking forward to having a little bit additional upgrade in those rooms.
Jim, you ever notice when Dr. Carla answers a question, a lot of times she'll come out and say, I'm really excited about
this? Yes.
We get a lot of excitement.
I'm excited about a lot of stuff.
I know, and that's what I like about Dr. Carla.
I'm pretty high energy, folks. That's just how it is. I love what we're doing here at ASU at Lake Havasu. I really do. I genuinely love what I'm doing, and I love the colleagues that I'm working with, and I love working with our students. So it's pretty easy to be excited about things, to be honest with you.
And
that's pretty genuine.
Like
I really am that excited.
It sounds like it. We feel your excitement.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of passion for the campus and its mission in the community, and we really appreciate that.
Dr.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, it's been really good to be here. We're going to be excited to grow enrollment, and I'm looking forward to the next time that we talk. I'm going to have some pretty fun updates for you and our community on what we're doing to move forward. It's good stuff.
Doctor, during the COVID disaster that we've all faced, some businesses, few, Netflix and Zoom come to mind, have prospered greatly. Most businesses have suffered to some degree. Is there a summation as to how the higher education has done? Are the universities suffering from this condition overall?
You got about 3 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So in 3 minutes, I'm going to give you Carla's take on that question.
Yes. Okay.
This is not ASU's take. This is Carla's take
on this
question. Overall, I think the sector has struggled. Overall. Mm-hmm. So across all colleges and universities, I think many have struggled. Many, mm-hmm. there have been lots of furloughs. My colleagues at Portland State University were furloughed.
Wow.
After I left. And then we've also had other universities who've cut staff and faculty and reduced programs. Arizona State University has not had to do any of those things.
Mm.
And I would tell you that the reason for that is because they've been incredibly innovative along the way. We have incredibly strong online programs at Arizona State University, and we have a willingness to adapt and be creative and flexible, and continue to provide educational opportunities. So overall, our enrollment has been strong at Arizona State, and I think that's just part and parcel of the kinds of efforts that were already happening prior to the pandemic starting. So, you know, institutions that had gotten really good at flexible degrees, so being able to attend online partially, being able to be in the classroom part of the time, places that had strong online programs like Arizona State, they have fared better in this reality than other institutions who did not have those things in place.
Oh, what a great honest answer.
Yeah,
appreciate the honesty on that.
Yeah.
I had
it's been hard. I mean, it's out in the news all the time. So, yeah, it's just, you know, Arizona's done well. Arizona State's done well because it had these things going for it already.
And then you have perspective from Portland State, which is even better. So that really put it all in perspective. Dr. Carla, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next month. Hopefully we'll see you and you won't be on the phone social distancing. But always great to have you. Always great to have you on Speak Out. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here. Have a great day, guys.
All right. Thank you too. Thanks. Dr. Carla Harkle-Rode, our guest. She's the executive director at ASU at Lake Havasu. Jim and I, Brother Jim.
Yes.
That's your first name, by the way, Brother. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie.
These men who write the song, speaking out against wealth and privilege. He says, I don't believe in money. There might be a little dust on the bottom, but don't let it fool you about what's inside.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. Paul Lavoie, Brother Jim Russell. You know about Casino Night, right?
Well, explain it a bit here.
It's the Lake Havasu City Rotary Club for Denim and Diamonds Casino Night, Saturday, February 27th at the London Bridge Resort Convention Center. It's from 6:30 to 9:30, but this is all the way up in February, so February 27th. But I would imagine they want to get the word out now because of people wanting to participate, sure. And it's probably going to be a limited number. So you're going to want to contact Sally Walker, 928-486-7644, or visit lakehavasucityrotary.com. I mistakenly said it was the chamber, but that's because I got the info from the chamber. Sorry about that, Lisa. Anyway, Mayor Tom Brady from Bullhead City is on next with Speak Out 2.0 with Larry Tuneforce. Jim, we'll see you next week.
Indeed, I look forward to it.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.